Hello and welcome to another episode of Sky Blue Stories. We're joined today by Sean Maloney, our usually in the hot seat.
Hi, Jono.
We're laughing already.
Don't know why.
James Pearson's back for more.
I'm here for pods.
Yeah, pods.
Gotta love the pods.
Mars or?
Twix.
Oh, is that Twix?
No, they were Mars. Twix. Always Mars. Yeah. Mars
but pods. We better not leave out our fourth guest today, who's going to sit in the co-hosting chair with us, is Grant Ewer. Grant, welcome to the pod.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Sean was scared I'd hit the wrong button.
Hey, can we never do that? Can we never do that again? That sounded terrible.
Oh Jesus.
That's more on point.
We've discovered the sound is.
It's a mystery. It's a mystery.
I think that's Hamilton Academical noise, that one.
Inside a Hamilton Academical trophy cabinet.
That's right. So for those that don't know, Grant is, I guess, one of the founding members of the Cove, Sydney FC's active support. Is that fair to say, Grant?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. And Grant's still been involved, obviously, since day one. We've invited him in today to share his thoughts on several things, partly because we have no games to talk about, but also because Grant does a lot of behind the scenes work, and he's a very humble man, so he won't admit to it, but we're very lucky to have you in, mate, so thanks for coming.
Thanks.
First question, Grant. Twix or Mars pods?
Twix every time.
Yeah, like a bit of caramel. Jono, last week's response to the man, the myth, the legend, Danny Townsend, how awesome was that?
You know, he said he listens to everyone. So
is that a week ago?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
It was a week ago.
How does it feel that he was in that chair, Grant? Does it feel good?
How the buttock imprints?
Warm, comforting.
Oh, good.
In your heart.
Powerful.
Brilliant. Brilliant response, guys. It was a record breaker for us. Obviously, we spoke to him last week about him just missing the record breakers, but he set his own record now, James.
He has set his own record. We're up to millions.
A lot.
Are some of those listeners turning into fans, or am I still being presumptuous? They're still listeners.
We've got to work on
it's
that.
It's a cult following.
Yeah. If you're a fan, tweet us.
Yeah. thanks again to Danny. And, geez, he's talking a big game, Mr. Townsend. He's basically told everyone he's getting Broski and Corica in, so...
Yeah, Dan, we're going to hold you there.
Yeah. You better believe it.
Yeah.
We know where you live.
Actually, I've been meaning to email you if you're listening, Danny. I've been meaning to email you all week and let you know that you were the record-breaking pod.
I wouldn't give him the password to the account, though.
I've got it saved in my keychain.
Damn it.
But consider this your email, Danny, and look forward to you getting us back with Broski States. Cheers.
Speaking of more records broken, we got the treble done over the weekend. No games. No Y League, no W League, no A League. Continuing to set records left, right, and centre.
We're unstoppable.
Very quiet weekend.
I reckon we might be able to do that again this coming weekend.
You're very close. Well, depending on the weather, yeah. With the girls coming up. We'll talk about the derby a bit later, the W League derby coming up. But yeah, Sean, game washed out.
How did you feel? Right decision, Grant?
No doubt about it. There's no way it was going to go ahead with the expected weather and the way it turned out. And I was kind of looking out the window at like 4 o'clock going, thank God they cancelled that bloody game.
Yeah.
Oh, look, agreed. It would have been exciting to go to. However, I don't think it would have been good for the club or either club if the game had gone ahead and you would have had a measly, I don't know, 2,000 or 3,000 on there. Doesn't look good on telly. Just a matter of where they're going to put it now.
James, thoughts? Happy with it being cancelled? James, you're Spanish now.
Oh, God.
James Rodriguez.
Thoughts? Happy. Sad because I was really bored. I was mildly ill over the weekend.
We enjoyed a few drinks though together on Saturday.
I had water.
Oh, you did?
So that was great. It was a good thing. I've just realised we've got a bye. I don't know why it slipped my mind. So
I'm glad the club called it early, because can you imagine everyone getting ready?
Well, Jono, you called it early, and then I looked through my emails and Twitter. I'm like, how does he know?
You gotta know the right people. Gotta know the right people.
But ABJ will be back whenever.
Maybe.
Hang on, he didn't play. Does that count as a game not played?
No, exactly.
So he's not back.
No, it depends what it is.
But it means he'll be for the derby.
But it's not going to get rescheduled before we play somebody other than Western Sydney.
What's your gut for when it will be rescheduled?
An inside word, Grant?
To be honest, I think it's going to end up being on a weeknight evening. I think it's going to be a Wednesday night. It's really hard to see how they can find a weekend for it without disrupting other games. And you know, how far do you push the consequences? Do you tell Western Sydney that they are not to play some other, you know, Newcastle Jets or whoever it is they're going to play? Slot that game in for what? For one bump in ratings?
And we've changed enough fixtures already this year. I mean, and Grant, we might get to talking about away trips a bit later on, but one of the things I know in our immediate group of mates we found difficult this year is planning away trips because they keep getting changed. Oh,
the Central Coast one?
Yeah. I think it's the nature of the league. We are owned lock, stock and barrel by Fox Sports. There's no other way around it. They want their pattern schedule. That's what they spend the money on. That's what's going to happen. And unfortunately, you know, actual spectators are definitely second class citizens.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, ABJ, yeah, more than likely, probably 90% likely, 95%, because and no disrespect, and I don't want to eat my words in a couple of weeks' time, but it might mean that he misses the Mariners game, which doesn't mean as much to him anyway.
He'll have had a month off.
Yeah, well, lucky we're playing Yokohama next week.
Yeah. W League, nothing to report. Maybe still on a high since their grand final win.
And being on the pod.
And being on the pod.
Caitlin Ford got a
new fans.
Caitlin Ford.
Yes, she did in the first game against Chinese Taipei. Got a hattie. Playing in a little bit of a different role with the playing in the number 9 role. They're in the central striker role, a bit different from her.
Sam on the bench.
Yeah, came on, scored a goal.
Question for the intellectual types on this podcast, not me. Lucky Grant's here. What is the difference between Chinese Taipei, Taiwan?
Why tweet us.
Chinese Taipei is how you say Taiwan without upsetting the Chinese.
Yes, exactly. It is Taiwan. It's Taiwan.
Okay.
It's kind of like it's a chicken and Grant's dinner.
Well,
what?
Yeah, okay. Nice.
If you say Grant's dinner, it clearly belongs to Grant and not anybody else.
Just chicken.
Yeah?
I'm no politician, but I think it's a similar situation with Hong Kong, with
Chinese Hong Kong.
It's like sovereignty and
Siam. Yeah, no?
Something like that. Yeah. But yeah.
Okay. Anything to do with dishes, like chicken chow mein.
It's Sean's favorite.
Lay off the coronas. but look, bringing it back to football, James, you know, first game, Caitlin played really well, scored a hattie. Chloe played as well. She played in the middle. No sign of Alana Kennedy in the first or second game.
Yeah, she played second game.
Did she?
Yeah,
she did.
Our W League.
Well, if only it was on free to air or something like that, I would be able to watch it.
But former Sky Blue Kai Simon had a couple of goals, and it was good to see her.
Yeah, good to see her. Nice goal by Hayley Raso. Just on a side note, I thought that was a great goal. They play China on Thursday. At least a draw, and they'll go through.
Yeah, we're through. It just depends on who we play now.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. To complete the triumvirate, obviously the Y League finished up last week, so there was no Y League, but the boys are getting ready for NPL season, which kicks off in a couple of weekends' time. We're hopeful to get a couple of reps in next week to talk to about that, so we'll keep you posted on that. But talking to the club about, getting a bit of buzz going for the NPL season.
Their first game is against Mount Druitt over at Pompondetta Park. 2 p.m.
What park was that?
Pompondetta.
Pompondetta?
Just rolls off the tongue. 2 p.m. Sunday the 5th of March. The boys last year finished second last, though they had a gap of 10 or 11 points between them and last place Okoa, who did get relegated, and now North Shore Mariners come up. I don't think you'd ever see the youth boys in the NPL ever win it, but I think it's incredibly good experience, those younger boys playing up against what is,
men's comp,
you know. And some of those players in amongst United and Apia and Blacktown and the like are quite seasoned veterans of the NPL and the like. So it'll be a great experience for them going forward.
Do you get out to many NPL games, Grant?
I try to, but work keeps me busy and there's only so many times I can be away.
Correct.
But I was going to say, what they're doing with the youth teams playing in the NPL mirrors what they're doing with the academy teams as well, because all of the Sydney FC academy teams play, I think it's 1 year up. Yep. So the under-13s play in the under-14s comp, and the under-14s play in the under-15s comp, and so on and so on. So it's kind of an extension of that. And I don't think the youth league as it stands is anything like preparation for the A-League. No. You hear a lot of talk about it, but I don't think there's anything – there's nothing else at the moment you can do other than have those guys play against, as you say, seasoned veterans, even if they're – part-timers. Mm-hmm. Most of them are semi-professional.
And some of them are got previous A-League experience.
Yeah, quite a few of them.
Actually, Charles Seba. Yep. Yeah, playing at Olympic this year, and there's other examples in amongst there. So yeah, it's probably
it's also the NPL clubs are also where the Sydney FC youth go when they're too old to play for Sydney FC. So they all end up spread across the league at RPR, City Olympic, everywhere. So it's so looking forward to that kicking off. It's good for us Northwesties, because I, Blacktown, the Lilly Stadium.
Over Lilly Stadium, road, yeah. So Blacktown Sports Park as well.
To go to a few of those games as well. So that's all coming to us in the next couple of weeks. But let's focus on Grant. Ooh. We need a spotlight or something. But
for the podcast that's audio based.
Correct. Hey, we have visual aids today, all right?
I shaved for this podcast. Yeah. I'm not telling you what I shaved.
Yeah, I'm about to say.
Use your imagination, listeners.
Yeah. I use my razor.
Bald arms.
Grant, for those that... this is descending really well.
Took less time than I thought.
Grant, for those who don't know who you are, tell us a little bit about who you are and I guess, what your involvement with the club today is.
Sure. My name's Grant Muir. I'm originally from Scotland, as you can probably tell from my accent. And of course, Irish. The first question I was asked when I got in here was, are you Rangers or Celtic? I'm Hamilton Accies, very proudly Hamilton Accies supporter. I've been following Sydney FC since their inception, and I've been involved with the Cove since the beginning. I've had a variety of different roles. The Cove hierarchy, leadership, whatever you want to call it, is very unstructured. There isn't, there's no chairman or anything like that. I'm probably the closest thing there is to an actual position holder because I've got the bank book. So I'm effectively the treasurer and occasionally the media spokesman. I've got a little bit.
You're the wife.
Pretty much. And over the years, I've done various different things. But for the most part, I've stayed in the background and let the guys who are directly involved in the match day stuff and the creation and sale of merchandise get on with that.
Yeah. So it's not a democracy. What political system do we call that?
It's a meritocracy.
There we go. Thank you.
I say that because I'm involved. But we decided right at the beginning that it needed to be sort of kind of loose and flexible because you didn't know how much time people had to spend on doing things. You didn't know how the circumstances were going to change. I mean, some of the guys I've known since they were like 16 years old and they're married with two kids now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, their lives change, people's lives change. So you have to have a bit of flexibility. And I can't think of anything worse than a very small, but very highly structured group of people trying to vote on doing things. You only have to look at Western democracies to see how well that's working out.
I was just going to say, that political system that we've deployed in the Cove, based on your knowledge, how does that differ from other organised fan groups around the country? How have you seen how have you seen what we've got work for us where perhaps there hasn't been as clear vision in other supporter groups, perhaps close to where we are geographically at the moment?
I'm kind of leery of getting into how other people do things without direct knowledge of it. But my understanding of the other significantly sized supporter groups is that there's a tendency to people to put their hand up and say, I'm in charge now, do what I say.
Right.
And there's generally a cluster of those, dangleberries, whatever you want to call them. but there's generally a cluster of these guys, and they basically decide what they're going to do, how they're going to do it, when they're going to do it. We've always said, if you want to get involved, come and talk to us.
Yeah.
We're always available to come and talk to. In fact, we actively encourage, because one of the things that we suffered from was a generational decline. Mm. Basically, the leadership...
Aging workforce.
Well, essentially, a distracted workforce. Essentially, people got... You can only do that, honestly, you can only do this, especially the game day stuff, you can only do it for so long before you go, I can't do this anymore. And people move on. And previously, we haven't had a great system of what would you call it? Sort of ready in the replacement.
Succession planning.
Succession planning.
I'm an HR manager. Sorry. Right.
So mate, every podcast.
I'm not looking for a job. I'm very happy in my job.
So Grant, like, what's a quick and easy and obvious way for those people to get involved? Like, if someone did come up to you and say, I'd love to get involved in the Cove, what can I do?
What do you want to do? Is the first question I ask.
Put it back
what do you want to do? What are you interested in? Are you interested in game day stuff? Are you interested in TIFO? Are you interested in the merchandise? Are you interested in something different?
Do you have any skills that you know, graphic designers, that sort of stuff?
Do you have any money? Get me. Yeah. But it's,
can I have some of that money?
Do you have a PayPal?
So generally, I'll point them to the matchday guys, because the matchday guys, so the capo and the drummer and the guys that basically the guys that you see down the front of the Cove week in, week out, because they're the ones who generally need the most help. They need help with setup. They need every week the setup. You've got to bring the drums in. You've got to bring all those banners and posters and two sticks, the flags and the two sticks and everything in. If there's a TIFO, I was thinking about this on the way here. It takes approximately one person per horizontal meter to deploy a TIFO.
Wow.
And you know that big TIFO that we did for the SFS, the 60 meter wide
one? Oh, yeah.
We had 70 plus people involved in the deployment of that.
That was incredible TIFO as well.
So, you know, there's things like that. And we try to make it easy, because it's very hard to go from standing still to I'm completely involved. I'm completely, you know, I'm doing this every week. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm going to TIFO three nights a week.
Well, I mean, the three of us find it hard enough as it is, mate. Like, I think we're talking off air a bit, but, you know, we're brand new to this. So all the, you know, energy levels are up and everything else, but getting just the three of us together once a week.
Tonight was a struggle. Won't mention any names.
Yeah, someone got terribly late. It's, you know, like, to that point, you know, getting people their time and everything else, it's completely, obviously everything is completely voluntary. Mm-hmm. We do this for the love of the club.
Absolutely. You know. I guess the point is it is voluntary, and it should be done by people who want to do it.
Yeah.
It shouldn't, if you think it's a slog, then you should probably be looking for someone else to do it. And honestly, one of the reasons that I've stayed with it so long is, as I told you earlier, I don't actually do very much. you won't see me painting banners. I rarely go to the TIFO nights unless they're absolutely desperate, because I'm rubbish at it and I step on paint and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. The skull's suddenly got a footprint.
I help that. Actually, one of the other things I do is I run sfcu.com.
Yes, you do.
The forum. And we host the Cove Shop.
You're the reason why my account won't register then.
Yes. You clearly haven't paid me enough. There's a bar just over there. It's easy, mate. We have, as with all things technology, and you know this, it's imperfect. And sometimes we have issues. Sometimes we have issues where accounts get caught because we try to tie the, sorry about this.
Yes.
We try to tie the forum into the content.
Yep.
So that you only have to log in once. So you only have to create one account. Yes. We want people who buy a t-shirt to have access to the forum without having to sign in again. Two separate systems, so we've got to do integration, and it doesn't always work as it should. I can manually fix it. We'll talk after.
Easy.
But one
write
of the
that
things,
down.
It just
one
came
of the things
to me.
That we do is we, you know, we sell the merchandise both online and now at game day, thanks to guys like Danny, who are wonderfully accommodating with things like that.
Because that would aid into his bottom line too.
We had a number of conversations about that, and honestly, not really. You don't see t-shirts like this.
Yeah.
Sydney old bastards.
Yeah.
This is actually an extremely limited edition shirt from our last away trip to the Western United.
I was going
to
get off my dad.
That was the 2019-2020 national service trip.
The one we got kicked out of.
The one that I voluntarily left.
Ah.
With a gentleman who was getting kicked out.
Okay. Because the Seccos were bastards.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, in fairness, most of the time the security guys are just doing what they're told.
Yeah. Dropout cops.
But I mean, it doesn't help. And we, you know, that's one of the things that the Cove leadership does, is we spend a lot of time talking to security, we're talking to the police, talking to the clubs, the stadiums. It's an ongoing. We attempt to build relationships, but they're a revolving carousel of people.
I imagine, I imagine as well, and I don't know, maybe I'm thinking with my human resources hat again, sorry. because it is voluntary, it's self-run, it's self-governed sort of thing.
Yep.
you find people are really open and with their thoughts, their ideas, or do you get your classic, I guess, societal split of that? You got your introverts and your extroverts, and some people, he who yells loudest, you know.
We try to encourage everybody to have the say. But one of the things I have, there's certain subjects that keep coming up and people keep offering the same solutions. Mm. And we say, well, yeah, we tried this.
Tried it.
We tried it in 2007, 2008, 2011, mm-hmm. 2014. We're kind of done with that one, mate. But at the same time, you got to respect the fact that people give enough of a damn to actually talk about it, and you don't want to, you don't want to turn it away. Right. And look, it's really hard to do, and we don't always get it right. Sometimes people get shitty because somebody didn't have enough time for them. Somebody didn't, you know, didn't appreciate what they were doing or didn't recognize the effort that they put in. That happens, and it happens in any volunteer group. I absolutely guarantee you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how did the COVID come about? Like when
take us back
when the NSL became obsolete and they started the A-League and all that. Did the COVID come about before or after the first game, or you know, were you all sitting at the Captain Cook Hotel, or like, you know, how did it all start?
Very much, it came about very much, it was planned. It was very much a planned entity. Once the it had been established that there was going to be a Sydney FC club, there was somebody, and I for the life of me, I can't remember who, created a Sydney FC Pro Boards forum. Uh-huh. This is going back to like 2005. So this is
56K modems,
which you can actually still access. You can still see it to this day, so you can see the early years, and the early year actually, and the conversations.
There's not a MySpace page as well, is
MySpace?
There?
MySpace?
No, there's no MySpace page. But basically, people started talking online. Uh-huh. We had a very famous meeting in the Cleveland Hotel on Cleveland Street, attended by a significant number of people, most of whom are still involved in one way or the other. You know SFC Stats, Rowdy?
Yes.
Now, there's a guy you need on this podcast.
He's on the list.
So he was there. And a number of other Cove alumni were there. And that was kind of where we kicked off, because we started having conversations about what we were going to do, where we'd get chance from, how we were going to organize, how we wanted to structure ourselves. And looking back on it, we had no fucking idea whatsoever. There were one or two people who'd been involved in support overseas as participants, but never as organizers. We had the organizational talent of
any NSL.
Yeah, didn't they?
Almost everybody had an NSL team and had been a supporter, an NSL supporter.
Okay, great.
A lot of the Northern Spirit guys came with us, but there weren't a lot of them there at that time. I guess the point was that it wasn't the enthusiasm that was missing. It wasn't the understanding of kind of what active support looks like. It was a complete lack of understanding of how to make it happen.
So what do we do now?
And actually, one of the things that I brought, and I have to show you this.
We have a visual aid. James, will you describe it for us, please?
We'll be on our Instagram.
Grant will as well.
I've got this camera.
This is a year one. Cove shirt.
Oh, wow.
Is that the SFS? Is that like a seating plan?
I'm so glad you actually identified
that. Wow. Yeah.
Because almost everybody who looks at it goes, what the bloody hell is that?
There's Bay 23.
That's awesome.
How good's that?
Oh, wow. I think I still see it.
It says Bay 23. Yeah. And not only that, and a lot of people won't remember this.
The link to the Pro Board.
It has Mother a sponsor. Oh,
Mother
wow. An art gallery, a Byron Bay art gallery.
How did that happen?
Because Ned Negus's son, George Negus's son, yep. Ned, was one of the early organizers, and he had contacts there. And we had no money, and none of us were in a position to say, "Yeah, I'll put up the $800,000 it was going to cost to get t-shirts printed." Yeah. We didn't know who to go to talk about getting t-shirts printed. Nobody that we talked to had any design skills, so I ended up doing it, which is why it looks like a dog's
That's why we're going to see
We might take a photo and put that up
I can't wait to see like a Cove museum and like t-shirts over the ages.
the only part of it that I have any kind of sense of pride or absence of shame about is the writing in the middle, and it says the first inhabitants of Sydney Cove were considered rowdy, noisy, drunken ne'er-do-wells who needed to be separated from proper society. Some traditions are worth keep reviving.
Wow. Very nice. That is beautiful. Awesome.
And we sold about 150 to 180 of those, and that's how we kicked off the fans fund.
Oh, good.
And
I was about to say, so since then, nothing's been sponsored? So, in that way?
That was the one and only time that was the one and only time that we did it, and it became blindingly obvious to us that it was a really bad idea.
You guys keep talking. I'm going to take some photos of that right now and ready it for Twitter.
So bad idea. Explain.
A bad idea in the sense that, number one, it involved people who shouldn't be involved in support. Number two, fans should be paying for this themselves. But that's easy to say and very hard to do. And we kind of we struggled with it a little bit. We wanted to have Cove shirts because we wanted to develop an identity. We had Cove hats. We had some scarves. Awesome. We had scarves. Yeah, we had really decent scarves. But because of where we were at that point in time, we kind of had to go down the path of needing some money to kickstart it. And since that point in time, we've been entirely self-funding to the point now where, I mean, we get offered money. We get offered people. The club.
Is there a Patreon or anything like that? Yep. Or how does people donate?
We sell merchandise.
Yep.
And we have a fundraiser at the end of the year, which is a joint SFCU and Cove fundraiser that we run every year at the Bat and Ball.
Yep.
And that has a raffle attached to it, and that'll raise the funds that are necessary to host SFCU and therefore the Cove Shop and Forum. I've been to 15. and they're a lot of fun, and we raise thousands of dollars. And there's been times where we've been in a position to raise funds for charity rather than for TIFO.
And the club gets behind that, don't they?
Absolutely.
They put jerseys up.
The club's been an integral part of that for many, many years. In fact, I'll be honest with you, we've been really lucky. We haven't had a CEO that has looked at that and went, don't want any part of it.
Yeah.
Every CEO who could turn up went... players.
We've had a few over the years, until recently.
And you know, there's a very good relationship between the Cove and the club, and it basically boils down to us being willing to talk to the club at all times, and we don't let grievances fester.
So, good segue into a topic that I wanted to bring up at some point today. And I don't want to put a downer on this pod at all because it's going brilliantly, and thank you for being so open with this. There was a time, that the Cove was not happy with the club.
Yep. Wasn't that long ago either.
Wasn't that long ago. It's probably more in the recent history. So for those that are unaware of what I'm alluding to, so it was a season 2013-14. Frank Farina was in charge, I believe.
Frankie.
Yes. Scott Barlow was probably newly chairman
I think it was his second or third year.
Club wasn't going great. I think it was the second year of ADP, potentially as well.
Yep.
So that's the era that we're talking about. We had a bit of a naughty TIFO that went up, partly in English and partly in Russian, directed at David Trakdevenko.
Yes.
Asking, basically, we're not happy with Frankie. Mm-hmm. We want him gone, and we also want your son not involved anymore.
We were Arsenal.
So can you give our listeners a bit of context around that? Uh-huh. And also what I found interesting was that Tony Pignata was involved at that time.
Yes, he was.
And I'm a huge fan of Tony, and I think a lot of people are. So I know that you actually met with them afterwards, but I'll let you tell your side of the story. What happened?
I cried and drank beer.
I think I actually did.
That's two of my favorite pastimes. That's just me.
What did you do at the time, though?
I thought you said on Saturday.
Yeah.
It was an Adelaide game.
Yeah.
We were playing Adelaide, and Cove was there, and we put up the banner. Basically, we tried to interact in our own clumsy way with the club. And we tried to express our disappointment with the way a lot of things were going. Don't confuse it with being disappointed about results. We'd had worse years. We'd had worse times. We'd had worse teams. But it was the cumulative impact of a number of things. There was no sign of academy. There was the development. The player development was going backwards. Recruitment was lousy. We felt like the opportunity, or a lot of the opportunity that ADP had brought, was being missed.
Yep.
Frank Farina, we felt, wasn't the right appointment.
A lot of in-house stuff, no direction.
There was. It felt like we were a bit rudderless. And you know, there's a fundamental problem with fans doing things like that, which is you have no idea what's going on on the flip side. But at the same time, as primary stakeholders in a club, and I've used this kind of approach talking to the FFA numerous times. Fans are a primary stakeholder in the game. They're also a primary stakeholder in their club as well. Without us as fans, and I don't mean active supporters, I mean everybody who turns up to games. Without fans, clubs don't have an identity. Mm. They have a brand and nothing else. The identity comes from the individuals who are part of the organisation and the individuals who support the club. So we felt it was appropriate to, I don't want to call it air grievances, but we wanted the club to understand how frustrated and disappointed we were. And we felt that we hadn't been, when we tried to raise this through sort of less confrontational channels, we felt that we hadn't been given the right.
So how did that all go?
There was a number of things that happened. One was that there was a mass walkout in that game, which was actually triggered by something that I let Brendan Slowey talk about. There was basically I'm told there was a misunderstanding between the security and Brendan's now wife, which resulted in her being ejected and everybody walking out. That was basically, everybody was really wound up. Everybody was really hit up because we were well aware of what we were doing, and it was something that we didn't take lightly. It's the one and only time we've done that in 15 years. We don't do walkouts lightly. We don't protest against the club. It's not our job to undermine them. It's our job to try and help them get to where they want to go.
As a side note, Grant, sorry, and I don't know if this was around the same time. You might know better. Was it around the same time that Sydney FC members got a letter from the club saying don't swear at games?
I don't remember. I've been told that so many times by so many people who don't understand football that we actually
got a letter from, and I'm not sure if you guys remember, but I can't remember if it was just to Cove members or if it was to everyone, but it basically said, you know, can you turn the swearing down, and, you know, it's a family club and blah, blah. And I'm like, you know, my response to that was,
well, we've had,
fuck off.
We've had many, many conversations
John, please.
Sorry.
It's family pod.
Sorry.
Shut up. We've had a lot of conversations with security, with the SCG Trust, with the police, with away security and away, the powers that be in every, almost every state and every city. And there's an issue in the sense that there's a perception that, you know, children should be able to, you know, 6-year-olds should be able to go and enjoy the football. 6-year-olds have no clue what we're saying. half the time, we have no clue what we're saying. I think sometimes there's an oversensitivity, and also there's also, frankly, an agenda.
Yeah.
The stadiums that we play in and the powers that be often have vested interests that lie elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Let's not kid ourselves. The SCG Trust has cricketers, rugby union and rugby league representation at board level, has no football representation and never has had.
Yeah.
It has Alan Jones,
which tells you... That's enough said.
Yeah. But one of the most incredible distinguishing features between A-League support and, say, NRL, AFL, is that active support. You go to a Roosters game, and I love my chooks, you go to a Roosters game or a Swannies game, those neighbouring teams, you don't see their version of the code.
No, absolutely not.
But and it's exciting, it's character.
But here's the thing to keep in mind. The entities that have a vested interest in that are the club itself and the supporters. Mm. The FFA should have a vested interest in it, but so far has failed to demonstrate anything but contempt for active supporters.
Around the country.
And that's across the board. Now, there's some institutional issues with that. I'm not talking about individuals. There are some significantly important individuals within the FFA who do have our best interests at heart. But as an organisation, they haven't. They've pushed back up to now on active support rather than embracing it. They're trying to do it now, but it's a real hard sell. I guess one of you guys were asking what's different about other active support groups. The one thing that I think distinguishes us from every other active support group is we are always willing to listen and talk.
Yeah.
We say, you want to talk to us, we'll talk to you. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what's happened before.
We'll dialogue.
Doesn't matter how poorly we think of you. If you say to us, we want to sit down and talk to you about X, we will go and sit down in good faith and talk to you.
Yeah, reasonable.
Because you don't learn by ignoring people. Mm.
Communication is the key. Just to wrap up the last bit. What was the club's response to that? Because I know that you met with Tony and potentially Scott.
Yes, yeah, we did. We had a meeting with the board of directors. Yeah. They took it very seriously.
Yeah.
I can only say good things about the way that the club responded. A more arrogant person would say, well, look, every single thing that we said needed to be done has now been done, therefore we saved the club. Horseshit. Most of it was already in motion, but not being on the inside, you don't see it.
They weren't hostile. Yeah. They didn't hold grudges. No, they didn't.
And the key to
that. There's no contempt.
The key to that is what I said. I spoke to Scott Barlow and Tony Pinata every single day from the day that it happened until 2 weeks later, when we basically, as it happened, the next week was an away game in, I think it was Perth, so nobody was going anyway. So it wasn't like we had the boycott. But I talked to them. I talked to both of them every single day because we all said we're going to come out of this stronger and better. They said, we understand you're upset. We understand the reasons for it. And I said, I understand you guys are doing your best. Well, you know, we said to them, look, we understand you're doing your best. The only other thing that I will say is that in the meeting with the board, they treated us with the utmost respect, except for one thing. Mm. You might remember Mark Arbib, the federal sports minister,
Wasn't he ICAC or something?
He was a board member. At that time, and they give us this presentation. They give us this very corporate style presentation, and it started with the success of the W League and the success of the Youth League. And I said to them, guys, that's all well and good, but ultimately, we need to see progress in the A League. And Mark Arbib three times went back and said, but Grant doesn't think that W League and the A League are important. So on the third time, I said, Mark, I didn't say that. And if you continue to speak to me like that and you continue to put words in my mouth, we're done. We're not going to talk anymore. We'll just walk away. I didn't say that. I didn't say that. This isn't Parliament.
Mm. He's trying to
let's try and solve the problem. And one of my friends, every time he sees me, reminds me of the time that I made Mark Arbib cry.
but do you know what? And it's a tried and true saying and similar to this situation. Players come and go.
Yeah.
Board members come and go. Fans are forever.
Yep.
As going back to your point about stakeholders, and some people don't like to be called stakeholders, but at the end of the day, it's so we're still here. Yep. You're still here. You're still involved. Cove is the only original supporter group still active and present to this day.
Pretty much the only contiguous supporter group from day one.
Yep.
One last thing I would say about that time that we had with the club. I consider Tony Pinata a friend now, and I consider Scott Barlow a friend. It was good for everybody.
Yeah.
We got a clearer understanding of what was required to run a club and the challenges that they faced, and they got a clearer understanding of what we were looking for. It was one of those things that at the time was horrifying. I mean, I
remember being... I was physically upset in the ground. I was actually pissed off at the Cove. I'm like, what are you guys doing? What are you doing?
Yeah.
But through an absolute challenging issue and matter and time, it actually brought you guys closer, those two stakeholders, the fans, the Cove.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, 100%.
Glass half full.
And don't get me wrong, prior to that, guys like Edwin Lugt and Walter Buno and Stefan Kamaz, I can't speak highly enough of those guys for their part in helping us develop as an entity, and respecting what we were trying to do and providing support to us. The club's always been great with us, and I think that's another differentiator. The club's always respected and tried to support what we do. Haven't always enjoyed everything that we've done, but it's always been there. And I mean, Danny is Nick's cab off the rank. He's great to deal with. He gets it. Brilliant. There's no two ways about it.
He's a footballer. Really at heart, isn't he?
Yeah. But
you beat him though.
Stepped right into Tony's open communication forum, and we've been really lucky to have those two guys in the last few years. Onto a more positive note, and thanks for sharing that, mate. Because really interesting, I guess, side story there. Despite it being a negative at the time, but as you said, we've come out of it very well on the other side, boys. Question without notice, more positive things. Favorite TIFO that Grant might be able to shed a bit of light on how it came to be.
Grant, What's your Grant's fave?
What's yours?
Oh, look, this. Probably one of the most recent ones that stands out this season's one was the timely reminder to Melbourne victory of what happened in that semi final.
That was a good one.
I thought that was beautiful. And also, you know, the one dedicated to Terry McFlynn with the
that's my favourite is Saint Terry.
Yeah,
that's my
favourite. With the stained glass window effect in there. Yeah,
there's been so many. I mean, Al Sydney is another brilliant one. It might have been the first derby. Could have been at Allianz, our Sydney.
That's the one with the red hands being slapped away from the city. Yeah,
that correct. Was very good.
The one at the SCG we mentioned as well. The octopus. I mean, yep. Octopus. Some of those and some of these.
It was not an octopus. It was a kraken. But never mind.
Can I? I've
got had tentacles. It had tentacles.
Can I do a Sean and have two?
Go for it. Yeah, please. Yeah.
I really it. So the ones I like are simple. The king. Yes. King Arnold and the Joker being Popovich. And one that I really liked for its simplicity, and I actually got it up here, was the 17 FFA Cup final get the set.
Yes.
That hung down from the top of Allianz.
That
right?
one was actually the first time anybody had been allowed to use the roof of Allianz to do something like
and
that.
And that's why it stuck to me, right? And you know the thing was so unique.
Right. So you know the thing that we discovered?
Yeah.
One of those
something happened.
One of those. One of those. We didn't throw anybody off of it. one of those 7 meter wide, 11 meter deep, tifos.
Yeah.
You know, there was three of them, right? And they took a lot of manpower to trace, paint, and all the rest of it. Looked like a bloody tea cloth in front of that gigantic screen.
Yeah.
It was just one of the issues that we had with using the roof was just the sense of scale. It was great for visibility because you could actually see it like face on.
But it went out the window, the scale.
On the shitty rake that we have at the Paddington end. But it looked like a tea cloth.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll give you two. My personal favorite is the Unstoppable. You might remember it has the Empire State Building with King Kong on it, swatting away the West Sydney Wanderers
and
all the different teams. Lines. I absolutely loved that, and I wanted that on a T-shirt, and we never did a T-shirt of it. My least favorite, so you guys might remember this, and it's the least favorite for stupid reasons. It's the least favorite. Do you guys remember the balloon tifo that we did where the SYD?
Yeah, I quite liked that.
With helium balloons.
No,
right, they were here. It rose up. We let go of the balloons, and they rose up, and they unfurled.
Oh, no, it's Unstoppable.
Unfurled the letters SYDNEY.
I do remember that.
It took us so long, and so many bloody helium balloons to get enough lift.
They were massive.
It was ridiculous. The only idea we ever had worse than that was the 600 flag tifo.
Oh yeah,
yep.
600 flags. Some poor bugger had to sew those things.
So you learn life skills being involved with TIFO crew.
Yeah, you learn how. We have half a dozen young football fans that know how to use an overlock.
I think Slowey might have talked about the balloons in the 15 Moments series for the club and how he really liked it.
Yeah, but I was there and it drove me absolutely nuts because it was supposed to have been tested, but they tested it on a piece of cloth without paint on it, and the paint doubled the weight of the piece of cloth. White. And I was like, who am I going to punch? And we had to get a second gigantic tank of helium, and it was like 20 minutes before the game started, we were still inflating balloons.
Oh God,
panic
stress,
just stress, and just like the bar wasn't open, and just nothing was going right.
Nothing was going right.
Speaking of like best and worst. Favorite chant, least favorite chant.
Ooh. And have you ever composed one yourself, Grant?
Yeah, have you put any ideas forward?
Or is it all bought related?
Being where we are, most of our chants come from second hand from other
borrowed
places, generally overseas. We have had a few original chants, especially recently. Our chant game's been improving fairly significantly. Have I ever come up with one? Back in the early days when we had a more unstructured approach to songs, I remember we were playing Urawa Red Diamonds. First time we played Urawa Red Diamonds. Now, my wife's Japanese.
Oh, brilliant.
And she was down the other end.
Hi.
And she saw us hit the post. The penalty.
And so, of course, I started the chant, "You only sing when you're wailing." which unlike most of the chants that I tried to start, actually got taken out. but in terms of favorite chants, it's kind of hard because you get used to them and they become kind of normal and ordinary. One of the things I really like about the chants that we use now is they're very upbeat, they're very, very positive. They're generally not about us, but about our club and about our players and about things like that. A lot of other active support singles, they sing dirges for 20 minutes. So the Japanese clubs are the worst for that. They're singing the same damn song with the entire half.
Just continuous.
Please stop. Yeah. It's like torture.
Well, one such song you're referring to is Rhythm of My Heart.
Yes.
Which is sung at the same minute every game.
23rd minute, yeah.
And it's also a shout out to...
A guy called Dogger Dog, William Duran, who sadly passed away, 7 years in January. Mm. I think it was January 1st or January 2nd.
Yeah.
It was the first time that we'd lost somebody who was there every single game in the Cove. He was two seats along from me. And we miss him to this day. Yeah. And I think it's really important for us as a group, as a social group, to recognize those people and to remember the people, to remember those people. I went to the Sydney FC 10-year celebration lunch.
Mm-hmm. The Hall of Fame one they did? Or
no, not the Hall of Fame one. They did a 10-year celebration, surprisingly enough, about 5-6 years ago.
Yes.
Shockingly enough.
Wait a second.
They did a whole thing. There was a lunch and they were interviewing a bunch of people and they asked me to come up and speak a little bit about the Cove. And one of the questions I was asked was, what's your most memorable moment?
Mm.
And I said, that's easy. It was when Alex Bross came and sat in William Duran's seat at the beginning of the game. Him and William actually knew each other quite well because William was a real estate agent and got Broski his house.
Good deal, though.
Yeah. Wow.
Got him a good deal.
Good commission.
But that was the first game after Dogger Dog's funeral. His nickname was Dogger Dog, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
And on the forum, he used to, his posts would have 3 or 4 words and then about 150 emoji. This is, and this is long before emoji became a thing. I'm talking like 12, 13 years ago. He was absolutely
the old trout flap.
Thought leader. But Broski came up and he, in a moment's silence, and he stood where Dogger stood.
Mm, mm.
And to me, that was like, the highest mark of respect. You know, the captain of the club, who actually had left the club at the
time.
He was on holiday. He was playing for Shimizu.
Ah, that's right. Yes.
Funny story. I also bumped into him when he was playing in the Middle East because I was on the way back to the UK. Again, not for great reasons because my father had just passed away and I bumped into him at the...
I wouldn't have thought Broski would stand out in the Middle East to just run into him, but, that beard.
No, this was at Sydney Airport. I was on my way to the UK.
He didn't always have the beard. True. B, that's
he was
racist.
Getting patted down in customs.
That's racist, and that's why you're not allowed in the West.
All those beagles around him.
He looks so young without that beard.
Doesn't he?
He does. It's a thing of beauty, though.
I actually just back to the song. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. It apart from We Are Sydney and maybe one or two others, it's one of the songs that you're going to hear every day.
Yes.
And you definitely feel the Cove change when it comes on. Mm. It's a more subdued song, but it's also, it's not trying, it's not shouty, it's not, as full on, but there's almost a melancholy to the song, right? And I didn't know the story behind it. I'm so glad you shared. I think a lot of our listeners, not fans,
one or two fans,
might be news to them. To me, that's made this whole thing worthwhile. Like, it's just phenomenal to know that and that type of stuff.
So here's one of the things I think you need to understand about the Cove. It's not a static entity.
Yeah.
It's because of the nature of the things that we do, and because of the nature of football support, it's almost like there's a ground zero where the capo is, and the capo changes every 3-4 years because it's exhausting. What is really tiring is very challenging. You imagine what it's like being 3-0 down in pissing rain,
and you've got to get people revved up,
and then there's kind of it's almost like concentric semicircles. So you got the people who are like the hardcore who are right at the front, who are G'ing people up, the drummers, the guys waving the flags and all the rest of it. And then you got the next circle, which is the guys who are committed but not involved.
That used to be us, I think.
And then you got
back
the
in our younger days.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew.
And then a little bit out at the edges, you've got the 15 and 16 year olds who are getting into it, and they're just starting to go to football games on their own. Yeah. You get a bit further back, and you get the guys who show up every week. They're
the
in
old
their
boys.
20s. Football is part of their weekend out.
Yeah.
And then at the outer edges, you've got the guys who started at the front who have made their way back.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people. Yeah. Cove Heights is where people go.
That's right.
Once the Cove's kind of done, and again, it's
progression.
It takes a lot.
Circle of life.
When I was when we were at the SFS, my seat was in the back row, B23, and it will be when we go back there. I can't see myself being anywhere else. It's completely changed since I started there. With almost no one. I think there's one person who was there, and that's the guy who stands next to me. There's one person who was there at the beginning who's still there now. Everybody else, people have gone overseas, people who have moved away, people who have gotten older and gone down.
Tried different tiers of membership.
There are a lot of people in the Cove who are in their 30s, who've been there for a very long time, who are not active as in jumping up and down and all the rest of it, but they're committed.
That's my knees.
A lot of them know a lot of the guys that have been involved. You'd probably be shocked to hear that we have a leadership group that has six people in it at any given point in time. Generally, the leadership group is stable for 2 years, and then half of it churns.
Yeah,
because people move on. People say, "I'm done with it. I'm not doing this anymore," or "I hate you and I'm leaving." whatever it is,
gonna go start a rival supporters group.
That's actually never happened.
MacArthur,
but Sydney Corner Crew.
But it might surprise you to know that I was estimating this. I think there's been about 70 people that have been involved in the Cove leadership
just in the leadership.
15 years. And that's people doing merchandise, people coming and talking to the club, people involved in match day, people doing the flag stuff, all the stuff that gets done. There was a lot of churn in the early days because people sort of moved in and moved out, and they weren't sure whether this was what they wanted. It's become a lot more structured now and a lot more organized, and there's kind of a fairly visible progression that you see guys going through.
Where to next for the Cove? Do you have any, we asked Danny last week, what's your 5, 10, 15 year plan? obviously the Cove, as we've heard, it's a very fluid, unstructured thing.
It takes a long time to plan a TIFO though, so maybe there's some plan for later in the year and we don't know about.
How far ahead do you plan? Digital TIFOs?
Are we going to piggyback?
Sure. Holographic TIFOs or something?
All right, Blade Runner.
That is actually not the stupidest idea.
We'll get it involved with the curtain.
So before what's next, how long does it take to plan? How far in advance do you plan a TIFO, and then what's next? Sorry, Sean.
So generally towards the beginning of the season when we start going to FFA Cup games and pre-season games, and once the draw's out, we start identifying games where a TIFO is relevant, suitable, appropriate, blah, blah, blah. We generally do about 3 a year.
Yeah.
Sometimes we'll do a little more. Sometimes we'll do a little bit less. It varies. And a lot of it actually depends on manpower and opportunity. Like the giant one at the SFS, it was our first game at the SFS.
Mm.
And it was the derby.
Oh, SCG.
SCG, yeah. It was our first. Thank you. It was the first game at the SCG. It had much better rake than the SFS had.
Yep.
So there was an opportunity to do something different. And we just decided that we were going to go balls to the wall and do the biggest damn TIFO
ever
in Australia. Ever. There's no way. I defy anybody to point to something larger. Mm. It was 60 meters wide and 32 meters deep.
Wow.
And
that's a lot of go-gets.
That took 11 weeks of production effort.
Oh,
now that's wow. that's 11 weeks 11 from the point weeks. where the first action was bloody taken to create it yep. to the point where it was actually unfurled.
How did you get it there? In a van. How do you get something?
A large van?
In a big van.
A large van.
It's 60 meters. How do you get something 60 meters in pieces,
Ryan? And you
know, we also have a 65 meter flagpole.
Yeah.
Just marching
flying
down.
It off the top.
It's made for, we use linen.
Yeah.
So it folds. Yep. So it gets folded up and it gets folded up like origami.
But the paint.
What you don't do to your clothes, James. Fold. Yeah,
the paint is dry, definitely dry. We've had issues where the paint didn't completely dry right. before we folded it. Yeah. And then you just do touch-ups on the day.
Yeah, wow.
But
wow.
yeah, you would not believe the effort. I have nothing but admiration for the guys who plan and execute these things. And, you know, most of them are at most in their early 20s. A lot of them are under 20. And they'll go 3, 4, 5 nights a week for weeks at a time. We do tracing. So basically the way it works is you make a design, you identify the size, you do the design in outline, then you transfer the design to 1 meter. We buy 1 meter wide strips of linen because that way we can create
exactly spotlight. Must love you guys.
Spotlight. We have a spotlight VIP.
Winston if with a lie last
keeping
week.
Them afloat.
I tell you what. If Spotlight had a business class lounge, we'd be. In So then it gets sewn together generally in sections. Because especially like something 32 meters deep, that was in multiple sections, and then we go to we have spaces that we use, and we paint sections at a time. We let them dry. We move them one section at a time. But it's amazing how inaccurate you can be and how sloppy you can be when the damn thing is 60 yeah. meters by 40 meters. You get a lot of leeway when it comes to that. But the effort is just phenomenal. And then we throw them away. Everybody reacts like, but what do
can't
you
reuse?
Yeah,
so
what
them?
Do you suggest we do?
Yeah,
with them?
Yeah,
do you reuse it?
The National Football Museum.
The whole purpose of a TIFO is an expression of fans' dedication to their club. Reusing it is an expression of the fans' laziness towards the club. Mm. You just don't do that.
I was about to make a joke that's inappropriate on a couple of levels. One, because of the recent fires, but also because of what a rival effing supporter group did to one of our TIFOs one day. I was going to say maybe we should just have a nice bonfire. But I don't really want to talk about that too much.
No.
It was on my list of things to talk to you about, but I don't really want to talk about it because we're having a good time here.
So let me sum it up in 2 words. Shit happens.
Yeah.
And you know, we'd rather be constructive than destructive.
Yeah.
And jealousy does strange things to people. That's all I'll say about it.
Where will we see the next TIFO? Derby? Or would it have been the Derby this past Saturday? Or
see, one of the things about TIFO is the element of surprise. We are generally reasonably predictable about the occasions when we'll do things, but you'll never hear from us. You'll never hear from us what it's
we're doing
be.
On this week. Yeah,
we do, and we're not. We will occasionally put a request out for people to help out. Actually, one of the things when we do like card, you know, have you seen the card TIFOs?
Yeah, I love it.
We're not at South Korean levels where they have all the animations and all the rest of it.
No, we have
difficulty getting 800 half drunk guys and girls to hold up single color cards. Yeah. We actually have to paste.
You stick them on the seat.
You stick instructions.
Yeah,
instructions on the seat. And yeah, doing things like that takes an enormous amount of manpower
and patience.
But anybody can do it. Here's the thing though, anybody can do this. We have a method that we use to create TIFO. You don't have to be artistic. You don't have to be anything but available.
Yeah.
And able to follow instructions.
And reasonably able to follow instructions. And it would be nice if you were dependable, i.e. you turn up when you say you're going to turn up. If you want to get involved, anybody can get involved. And it's a lot of fun.
Start at SFCU on Twitter?
You can absolutely, if anybody wants to reach out to me, at SCFCU or at Cove23.
Yep.
The Cove23.
The Cove23, yep.
But also, you know what, if you're at the game, any of the guys in the front couple of rows, anybody who's got a megaphone in their hand or is in that front row, if you just say to them, hey, I want to get involved in doing this, what do I do?
Yep.
They will talk to you. They will introduce you.
Contact details.
It's not hard. It can be a little intimidating, and I think there's a lot of assumptions about how we operate, that it's some kind of a closed job. Trust
the opposite.
It's not, and we're constantly actively seeking more participants, because the more participants there are, the more things we can do, the easier it is for everybody. And it's, I got to say, it's a lot of fun. I wouldn't do it if it wasn't.
I'm very curious about, yes, you read my mind, Jonathan, the name, the Cove. And I'm probably even more excited to hear the alternatives that were quickly tossed out. So,
mate, Sean, do you have any off the top of your head that you might suggest if you were starting a Sydney FC?
They're all Sky terrible. Blue. The Broskinas. No.
Bondi Cigars?
I don't know. The Bridges. The, I don't know. But hey, please enlighten us, Grant.
Not a 50s girl band. The Bridges.
So this was one of the early conversations that we had on the forum. It's like, what do we call ourselves? And as always with things like this, it's impossible to find a name that everybody agrees on until suddenly someone comes up with something and everybody goes, that's it. That's absolutely it.
It's perfect, yeah.
So we were going back and forth. Some of the suggestions were the Cadelians.
The what?
It was actually the name of an Irish an Irish gang.
Oh.
From
okay.
In the 17th 18th century in Paddington.
In Sydney. Oh. Okay.
Yeah. The okay. Sydney yes. Push. There were a the lot push. Of again. There were a lot of gangs in old Sydney that were whose suffix was the Push. Some of the worst ones: Carver Bling.
Carver,
as in Carver, like a you know, like a terrace,
yeah.
Bling.
Like no, I don't like the bling part.
Yeah. Blue Boys, the usual sort of the usual variations on blue and sky blue that everybody kind of sighed and went, yeah, I could see that one.
Coming up with a name for this podcast was hard enough.
And then after
we got
about
stuck with sky blue stories.
I'm not sure how long it was in time because. You know, on forums, I measure things by pages. After about nine pages, a guy called Paul Johnson, whose forum name was Wands, because he's a Wolverhampton Wanderer supporter. Guy now lives up. He now lives up in the Central Coast.
Mm.
And he said, "I know we should call ourselves the Cove."
Perfect.
And everybody went, "That's it." And literally,
and
you see after
you that
is
that
like
moment.
Four, is like two, three pages of people going, "That's it. Yes, perfect. Dude, it's done." And it was
brilliant.
Just done. It became. A done deal, and
wow. It is a beautiful name.
He deserves his recognition. I think it's actually a perfect name. Yeah. I really
did.
Do.
Did you pick his brain as to how he came up with it? Was he
no? Just I'm sure he's told me over beer more than once. But yeah,
because what are some of the other clubs? The Royals got the Den,
yeah,
the Northern Terrace at Melbourne.
North Terrace,
the most original, exciting name in football. Yeah.
Well, I mean, look at MacArthur. Like they're thinking about the bullpen, like.
What, the bullpoint pen?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of the other names are cheesy or lame. Just there's a sense of class and, I don't know, sophistication.
The Marinators is pretty good.
Marinators. Yeah. Yeah.
If you like barbecues.
Well, they do have the sauce bottles.
That's right. Yeah. It works on two levels.
Yeah.
You had your question, Sean, which I rudely took us off.
Oh, look, you know, Grant, just where to for the Cove? Any plans, any... things that you envisage that
I don't. I honestly don't think they're going to. I don't think you're going to see any drastic changes. We had our significant evolution about 8-9 years ago. You might remember there was a breakaway group called the SCC, the Sin City Crew.
Yep.
And they were bored with our very sort of, let's call it, Northern European style.
Okay.
English UK style. So primarily spontaneous. Attempts at humour, that kind of thing, rather than the what they wanted, which was the full on ultra style.
They wanted more hardcore.
They wanted something that went for 90 minutes, bam, 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 was very musical and very sort of loud and in your face. So a group of guys that wanted to do that went off. It wasn't at all confrontational. It was like, we're going to have to do our own thing. Sorry, guys, but what you're doing isn't what we want.
Would they situate themselves down towards the corner?
That's right.
Down the corner? Yeah,
that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Just behind the corner post crew.
Jonathan loved that.
So they went on for like a season and a bit, and then half of them decided they were going to go support West Sydney Wanderers, which is actually what happened to the Corner Post crew as well. So half of them went off and decided that. The other guys came back and basically got absorbed back in, and that's where we basically said, we need to change the way we're doing things. We're getting old, we're getting stale, we really liked what you were doing. Let's adapt that a little bit and go with that. And our style definitely changed. We got much more focused on the capo. We got much more focused on a structured approach. As you said, there are certain songs you know you're going to hear at certain times. A lot of people, it doesn't suit everybody. Some people are like, oh, I miss the time when I could, where we could have funny chants, blah, blah, blah. So, well, okay, that's fair enough. But, you know, our job is to make sure the guys on
and
the,
they still get up every now and then.
Yeah, Big Blue, they come out. Yeah. Derby, they come out.
Yeah. Right? It's got to grow with the times.
Mostly my least favourite ones. The highly personal ones about opposition are...
Well, about
whatever are you referring to, Archie
mostly
Thompson?
Mostly because I'm the one who gets the call
Von Kovny.
The next day to explain what that was about. So every time I hear one of those, I'm like, oh, Christ.
Danny's calling me.
Von Kovny.
Grant, just to finish up, last one. This is something I'm really curious about, actually. You mentioned, you know, leadership group over the last couple of years or since inception's probably had, what, 70 people?
I'd say about 65 to 70 people.
What's kept you there for so long? What? And I don't mean that as a piss take. Why are you still there, you old fart? Like,
see what you mean.
Yeah. But legitimately, why are you still there? What's kept you there and what's going to keep you there?
Because I was lucky enough. Let me explain. When it first started, I had two very young kids.
Yep.
So my ability to get directly involved and spend hundreds of hours doing things was really limited. So I did the online forum, and I was, because I had some media training, I talked to the media. And because I was a bit older than the other guys, I talked to the club, because I was about the same age as the guys I was talking to at the club.
Yep.
Those roles are roles that I'm comfortable in, that I can do without interfering with my family life, and they don't overcommit me. And that's the bit that makes it work. The lack of work of overcommitment. We've had some absolutely fantastic guys and girls who have overcommitted themselves. They've tried to do everything, and they've driven themselves literally to tears trying to satisfy everybody, because everybody who's on the outside thinks that it's all, you know, on the surface, they're like, oh yeah, it must be quite hard work. But they sometimes, and I want to use this as a bit of a soapbox, because this keeps happening, and it pleases and frustrates me in equal measures. Sometimes people say, oh, we should do this, when they actually mean you should do this.
Yeah.
Meaning the court.
I want us all to do this.
They present it as a positive idea, and I'm 100,000% certain that their intentions are only good, and that they're only trying to bring about something positive. But when you're on the inside and you're already a bit stressed and you've already been doing something, and somebody 2 days before the start of the before a game says, oh, we should do a thing for so-and-so because so and such and such happened, it's like, dude, you live in fucking Norway. You're not coming over to do this. I think you mean I want you to do this thing. And I love the fact we have fans in Norway.
Yeah.
But, you know, look, as I said, I know the guy has only the best intentions.
I saw the interchange, actually, and you're 100%.
But the thing is, it puts us in an incredibly awkward position, because what they're asking to do is a really, really, really good thing. There was another guy who said, oh, why don't we set up a fundraiser for bushfires? Mm. And actually, the conclusion we came to is everybody else was doing it.
Yeah.
We're only going to trip over each other. But being asked of those things, it doesn't take into account of anything else that's happening, about any other commitments that have been done, or availability of resources.
Correct,
but it puts us in this horrible position where we have to say no to nice things. And we're guilt-ridden about it. And I don't mean to pick on
it. No, not at all.
It's been going on for 15 years. It's just a recent example. And I don't want this to result in people thinking that they shouldn't say,
you need a suggestion box. Things, yeah.
But there needs to be an air of being reasonable about this as well.
It has to be couched in a way that lets us gracefully back out of it without
it being a personal slight.
Yeah, without it sounding like we don't give a shit.
Yeah.
No, but I think your response on that was good. It was great idea. Are you going to be able to help?
I was laughing because I knew who it was.
Yeah.
I know the dudes in Norway. I was like, I got him here. And I was doing it with a smile on my face, but and I actually used that because it was a pleasant interaction.
It was.
The guy's a lovely guy. He is only the best things of mine. But sometimes it happens. It puts us in this very slightly uncomfortably awkward position where somebody says, oh, we should do that. And
sometimes you guys should do that.
You guys should do that. Mm. And it's like, it's pissing with rain. It's 36 hours before the starting, and you want to what?
Absolutely.
All right, brilliant. We're getting some very good content going today, guys. So it's been a lot of fun. Grant, before we finish up, I guess on you in the spotlight, like I said, in the spotlight earlier, you brought some goodies along in your goodie bag.
Yeah, I figured it would be a useful prompting for conversations. There's a few bits and pieces.
Really needed it.
Yeah, because it's so hard to bring me out of my shell.
That's right. Very timid.
But I thought it would be useful to get some interesting conversations. Yeah. I'll talk about any old crap.
Wow.
You've got one of your most, I'm going to imagine it's one of your most treasured possessions there.
Not this one.
Not that one.
No, we'll save that for last.
Yeah, it's actually, I mean, I've had a number of pieces of memorabilia that were like really, really good, but I always end up putting them in, you know, like raffles and stuff like that. And they end up going to, you know, you go to people who have more money than me.
Yeah.
But this one I've always kept. It's a year one jersey with Dwight York's signature on it.
Ooh,
and
wow.
As you can see, I've worn it. I wore it many, many times. It's a wee bit stanky, actually. and obviously, it's not actually Dwight York's
Actual
shirt.
Jersey.
But in case you don't know, the Football for Fires.
Yes.
Game that's coming up in March. He's going to be playing there.
Yes.
And I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
Wearing that jersey, maybe.
And actually, one of the reason he's playing is the guy's organising it, Lou Sticker.
Mm-hmm. Lou, signed him, didn't he?
Sorry? Yeah, Lou signed. Actually, I reckon Lou signed about 99% of that first year team. Everybody except Salazar.
Yeah.
The mysterious Alejandro. You remember you said you wanted three people you'd have a drink with? Alejandro Salazar was definitely one of them. How the hell did you get a bloody contract? You
know? We could do a whole podcast on Salazar.
What else you have there, Smith, Grant? Grant, I'm concerned about this next one.
This probably requires an explanation. So
Jono was shocked when we took our break just now. Yeah.
So what I have in front of me is a year one mint Melbourne Victory
Burn
jersey.
It.
Tags on.
It's tags still, on it's Melbourne still Victory
still
jersey.
Still return it.
Return it? Yeah, no. And you know, it's straight a really to rebel. Good, I kept that. Actually, I was going to do what you suggested.
What?
My original intent in when I acquired this was exactly what you had in mind. But it just seemed...
I have a habit of doing that too.
But
that's a plot for another night.
So, the story behind how I got it, I can't really explain why I've got it other than I just don't like touching it very much. The story of how I got it, do you guys remember 442 magazine?
Yeah, of course.
Right, it launched at the same time. As the dealer. I used to take photographs for them. I used to take photographs of the fan forums.
Did you get paid to take those photos?
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, no, damn. So if you'd have one up on Jono.
Kevin, call me. No, go on.
So they had their launch, and they had it at the, what was it called? Tank Nightclub, underneath the establishment. Tank Street Lane.
There most Fridays,
So I don't know if you know, but if you go in there, you go down a set of steps, and there's a doorway right at the top of the steps. That archway was covered in A-League shirts.
Oh.
And I went downstairs and... Basically, that was the first time I met Terry McFlynn as well.
Oh, cool!
And he was like 22-year-old, just moved Saint over Mirren. With his girlfriend, Morecambe, mate. And he was like, he actually looked a wee bit lost. So I said hello to him. I got chatting. So it's a conversation that's still going on after 15, 16 years. And a lot of the other Sydney FC players were there. Introduced myself to them. Who's the wee guy that was the Australian cricket captain?
Yeah. At the time.
Yeah. 15 years ago.
Ponting?
Ricky Ponting.
Yeah, punter.
I had a beer with Ricky Ponting.
First guy.
He's a big fan of punch it, yeah.
No, I'm bigger than him. it's not often I get to say that.
Yeah.
So myself and another forum member, Hillbilly, were attended this because I got an invite. I got, so you know, two of you can come because I knew Andy Jackson. Who was one of the guys that started 442 in Australia.
Yep, yep.
So Les Murray did his speech, yada, yada, yada. Lots of obsequiousness to the Lowys and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
And I was sort of, I was, at the time I was a smoker, so I went outside to have a cigarette and I'm walking back in and I see all these A-League shirts and I'm like, man, I really want an A-League shirt. And I'll tell you, I look at the Sydney FC shirt and say, well, if I take the Sydney FC shirt, that makes me a thief. So I grab Haley. We go up to the top of the stairs. I sit on his shoulders to get up to these things because I'm actually...
Sorry, on whose shoulders?
Hilly, Hillbilly.
Okay.
He was one of the forum members. Yep. I won't use his real name. And he's wobbly and I'm wobbly because it was free beer all night. And I decide that I'm going to take the Melbourne Victory jersey because that makes me a larrikin and not a thief.
So, it's a fine line.
So with the sole intent of setting it on fire at the first derby.
I was hoping so.
I just never got around to it.
It's never too late.
This has been sitting in my cupboard ever since. And when I was looking for the Dwight York jersey, it was.
Do you clean up with it at home? Get the little spray and wipe and use it to.
No, it's actually in pristine condition. I'm hoping in 25 years it'll actually be worth something.
It actually might be worth something.
It's in better condition than the Sydney FC one, anyway. Unfortunately, the Reebok logo. Yeah. Yeah. Came off quite a bit. Yeah. Brilliant. Very good. Yeah. Very good. And the other jersey you've got there is the Hamilton Accies one, which is tells us a little bit about who you are, Grant, and your history.
No, well, that was my start in football. Always makes me laugh when I, especially on Twitter, where people refer to me as a new Donner because I support Sydney SC. I'm like, are you shitting me? I've been supporting Hamilton Accies for 48 years. My dad, I was 7 when my dad first took me to the Hamilton Academical game. The reason I have this shirt is this shirt is actually from 1992, which is the first and only time in my life that Hamilton Accies have actually won something, and they won the B&Q Cup,
which is
a shitty little second grade cup. What's the English cup that the Premier League
EFL teams? Cup?
The flipping league.
Carabao
Johnson's paint trophy.
It's kind of like that. It's basically a participation award.
Yeah.
But it's the only thing that Hamilton Accies have won, other than promotion from the third division to the second division to the first division to the Premier League where they are now. But in terms of actual trophies. This is the only year that they won anything, and this is a shirt. This is a shirt. And they are
40 and they are 100 years.
Yeah, 1875.
Wow.
So ancient, almost as
very
old as
good.
Me.
Very good.
Wow.
And I still watch them whenever I get the chance. But again, it's always against Rangers or Celtic, because that's the only games that get shown here. So it's like, yeah, okay, is it going to be 4-0 or 5-0? But having said that, I have actually been in Parkhead when we beat Celtic 1-0 and in Ibrox when we beat Rangers 1-0.
There you go.
And
lucky charm,
and
you
supporters,
are.
And supporters of those clubs will never understand what it's like to go to a place like that
and win.
As a shitty little team and beat a team like that.
And win. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. Mate, thank you so much for sharing all of those very interesting tidbits with us, and it's time for us to wrap up today's podcast. We're going to touch on something that we put out to the social networks, and thanks for everyone for putting in on this one. First off, and apologies for my pronunciation, but zdravo to Jovan, that's Serbian for hello, apparently, if I'm saying it right. And I really liked his contribution where he's just gone for the Serbian trifecta. So he's gone Ninkovic, Dimitrovic.
Now, mate, for people that aren't on Twitter, what was the question?
The question was
start there, Jonathan.
I was actually working into it after. Yeah, but
thanks, Jay.
Should we cut this and start again? No. So the question was, if you could have a beverage, alcoholic, doesn't have to be alcoholic, I suppose, for those that aren't that way inclined. Most are. Beer, wine, Campari. Campari, a bit of a throwback to a very early Cove chant, Grant. Three people associated with Sydney FC. Player, coach, celebrity fan.
Who would you have a drink with?
Who would you have a drink with?
Do we have any celebrity fans?
Well, I said Anthony LaPaglia.
Do we have like a number one ticket holder? Kind of person.
I don't think we do.
Most clubs do, or some clubs kind of do.
We might have had a politician at one stage. I don't know. So Jovan has come back to us, and like I said before, I got too excited and didn't announce what we were talking about. He's gone with Ninkovic, Dimitrovic, and Danny Vukovic. So I really liked the theme. Yeah, Vuka's a good one. Really liked the theme there. Couple of other ones worth mentioning. Jamie's come in and he's put some scallywags together. Dave Carney, Michael Zullo and Shannon Cole. Ooh. I just
interested choice why he would put Shannon Cole.
He's just extroverts, right?
Is he? Was he?
Used to do all the Sydney TV.
And also the backflips.
He did. And I reckon they'd get kicked out of wherever they were drinking pretty quickly, though, with that one. But probably my favourite one. And there's a couple of good ones come up. Oh, Dave Carney and Ryan Grant came up a lot, yep. As did Broski. But Noel Hopper was my favourite one, and he wins it for creativity. He's gone with Anthony LaPaglia, who, for those that don't know, one time had a stake in the club, actually got the club started in the early days. Walter Bugno, or Bugno, who was our inaugural chairman, and loved a drink.
Very nice chap.
And loved a drink. And the third one that he has gone for is, where I've lost my bloody notes, oh, ADP, of course. So he's gone with Del Piero for good measure.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was. I really like that connection there. So, boys, where have you guys landed on this one? It's always one we mentioned in a pod a few weeks ago. I think I might have said that, you know, I'd love to have a beer with Wilco one day. Just he's just my kind of guy.
Just sitting back, chewing the fat with him.
Yeah. But I mean, he hasn't made my top three. I'll leave everyone in suspense. But
he gets an honourable mention.
James, Sean, who wants to take this?
Let's go age before beauty. James.
Younger than you. And gorgeous.
I look more youthful. I moisturise.
And gorgeous. We can tell. So I've gone Mark Yanko. Oh,
really? No.
Really?
Yes,
who would have thunk?
I will have you know that I tweeted him from the Sky Blue Stories Twitter account at what game was it?
We're at the Leagues Club. We're at St.
I was
George
at
Leagues
the Leagues Club. From the Adelaide game. Yeah. And there was a replay on TV and Brisbane. Mark Yanko was taking a Brisbane game maybe, was taking a penalty, and I took a picture of his face lining up to take the penalty and tweeted Mark Yanko, and he liked
Sky
the tweet.
Sky Blue legend, I think you said.
Sydney FC's favourite son at Mark Yanko.
It took a while for us to get to the game because your massive erection at that moment. Just to get through the doorway out of the Leagues Club.
It was awkward for
us. So what you've just done, my wife will be pleased, my mum will be horrified.
Your dad will be proud.
That's my boy.
All right, so Yanko on the list.
So he liked that tweet.
Good. Let's hope he likes his podcast.
Yeah, Ali Abbas is number two. Nice. Because what a fascinating story. And so I'd love to share a glass of water and orange juice.
He might be on the Agile, maybe on the Shisha. Yeah.
I know a good place up in Newtown.
Nice.
Could do that.
Nice. I like that one. That's really good, actually.
And then you know what? You go Brosk, you go Stevie, you go Dwight York, you do ADP.
Sounding like me, just pick one, Jack.
And I said you could do Brosk. I meant Grant because I've picked Brosk.
Hey.
Because he hates the West. because he did that interview where he just said, we hate them.
Yeah.
We absolutely hate them, and it was just brilliant. So, yeah.
What good about choices, you, Sean? Man. Good choices.
Well, my
Mark Yanko,
Mr. Erection himself. Now, my first one in no particular order. It has been mentioned a few times on forums and Twitters, whatnot. But Dave Carney, you know, Socceroos. He's played overseas, EPL. Something about the tats, I don't know. I just think he'd be
saw
fantastic.
The world.
Yeah. Something
the world
about the tats, Sean.
You know he played for Hamilton Accies.
No.
Yeah.
Jeez, really?
Seriously? Well,
you guys that's might, even more you, to you reason
guys,
to have a drink.
You guys might not know this, but Hamilton Accies has supplied more players to Sydney FC than any other non-Australian club.
No. I don't believe you.
Tell me a few other names.
Three players. Ian Fyfe.
Yeah.
David Carney. Mark Warren.
Mark Warren. He's still buzzing around the
all three
Marconi.
All three came straight from
Sydney, straight from Hamilton Accies to Sydney FC.
There you bloody go.
Look at those connections. 6 degrees of separation here in the pod.
And I remember that the first game that David Carney played for Sydney FC, beating Brisbane 2-0.
Yep.
I was allowed, basically they were on the pitch. And I
on the piss
pre-season
on the pitch. On the pitch.
This was up in the Central Coast.
Yeah.
And I asked one of the. This is how long ago it was. I asked one of the secos if I could go and have a chat with some of the players.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Yeah, on you go, mate." So I walked over and I was wearing a Hammett and Aki's shirt, and I opened it up and I said, David, what do you reckon of that place? And he looked at me and went, it's a shithole.
Well, if he's played in Scotland, he'll love a drink then. Yeah. So he's a perfect choice.
So Cardi, does Mark Warren make your top three there? I don't think he would. Yeah, so take Cardi.
Second is Geordie.
Oh,
yeah.
Voice.
He's just so passionate and I don't know, he's just... Yeah,
he set
the field on fire when he came. Like how when he came in halfway through the season, he'd straight away just fit in.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go past him to actually be an arsonist and set the field on fire. Like he's got that look about him. Like.
Yeah, he'll kill you.
Yeah.
And the other one was in the similar mold to Dave Carney, and as a person growing up watching the Socceroos, left midfielder myself, now. You know, playing in the left back, because nobody likes being a defender when you're playing in all
Excuse
age. Brett Emerton.
Oh, okay, nice.
You know, really kind of admired his football over the years. He's done a lot for the game, both club-wise, overseas, Socceroos. So Dave, Geordie and Brett. And I've, you know, in
you got insurance, just in case one of them can't make it.
They can't make it. Yeah, you know, maybe Uber breaks down or something. But a couple of honourable mentions.
I've got three. A backup too.
Just shut up. Chris Namoff. I thought he played great for us at the club. He's gone on to other things. Kofi Dannon, because I just love the go. And the other one was Yarrow Yao.
Really?
Because I just want to know who he is.
Oh. Well, you don't remember that, Yarrow?
Buy him a drink and go.
You mean Panamanian International?
Yes.
you don't remember him?
I do remember him. This tall, lanky striker that in similar Matt Simon mold would come out at the 80th odd minute.
He always struck me as very smooth.
Skin-wise?
Yeah. Like, I don't know, cocoa butter or something.
Silky. So,
Latino.
He could move. Yeah, nice. So. Yeah, so then you're back up. So I'll back up a grade. Grant, how about your guest? I can't let the guest go last. So, mate, who have you got?
I've actually had to think of this while you guys
Because you've had, and we're talking off air, sorry. You've actually had a drink with quite a few of the players over the years.
One or two. So the three, I'll choose players. Three players I would like to talk to, I'd like to have a conversation with, a drink with. Alejandro Salazar, Mark Warren, and Kruno Lovren.
Kruno as well. Yeah. Just
and,
for novelty.
And I only have one question. How the fuck did you get a contract?
Is that all three of them?
All three of them. Oh, dear. Kruno Lovren.
Can we just follow that up with who have been your favorite players to have a drink
with?
I'll be honest with you, I actively avoid spending time socializing with the players because there's
the AVO.
That's against the staff. Let's be clear. And it was an accident.
I fell.
And he's apologized.
Yeah, profusely. Now, I make a point of not imposing myself in social situations. Apart from anything else, I feel a bit awkward. I'm fortunate enough to have access occasionally to events where the players are and where they're socializing. I will say hello to them. I might have a 5-minute chat with them, but I'm not going to hang out with them and pretend we're buddies. If they're celebrating, they're celebrating with their teammates and their chosen friends. I would never push myself in that way. Terry McFlynn, after he retired, I met up with him after the grand final, him with a whole bunch of other people. It was like, just him and me.
Terry.
He's always good fun. And Alex Brosk is always is such a nice guy, persistently nice guy. I have no idea how he does it.
No.
It's definitely not something I
probably know. Something worth mentioning that if you're thinking of wanting to volunteer for the Cove, it's not going to get you access.
Yeah.
If it does
that's a fair
back
point.
The
actually.
Hell off.
That is not the reason.
Yeah, exactly.
The things I'm talking about are things that are, you know, maybe once a year, at the Sky Blue Ball. We get a Cove table, and because we've interacted with these guys quite a lot, we say hello to them because we actually know them. If you want to stalk them, do it on your own bloody time.
Yeah.
That's good, James.
I should have laughed.
That's good advice.
Stalk on your own time.
Write my that down. Where did I land? So I landed.
You're in Sydney.
Three
currently.
People I wanted to have drinks with. It probably would be in Sydney, I guess. Maybe on a cruise. I don't know.
Oh, on the cruises.
There's a corona joke, Sean. There's coronavirus.
Yeah.
I wasn't that quick. Joke. I know.
No, damn it.
Not on that cruise.
Give me a sec.
All Night Dwight, because, you know,
you have to.
Yeah. I remember being like year 11 or something and him, after winning the first A-League grand final, being like on the back pages of the paper, right? And just having that, what was it, 24, 48-hour bender or something?
Yeah. Interestingly, my brother-in-law, who's a Wanderers fan, and he was never a Sydney FC fan. He's always been a Wanderers
fan.
Sure,
he says.
But he was working at the casino at the time that we won the comp, and I can't remember. He's either got something that Dwight gave him, or he's got a photo of him with the trophy around his neck and something like that.
Wow.
So that's an interesting side note. But so All Night Dwight. As you said, reckon he could get us into some pretty good places. Benito Carbone was one. Yeah.
Why?
The missed opportunity.
The fanfare when he arrived, Premier League, you know, cult figure basically, Wednesday, Villa, I want to say a couple of others, maybe Bradford City, a couple of other English clubs, but he also played for Napoli and in the Serie A. But he only played three games for us. Two goals, but he came in the height of Bling FC, I suppose, with the sunnies on and the haircut back. And I just think it'd be a great bloke to
sounds
have.
Sounds Diamante-esque. Drinks.
Yeah, in the same vein. Yeah, definitely in the same vein. So he'd be in there despite, you know, only being around for a short time. I think we signed him on loan and he might have got injured.
It was
for
a guest.
Couple of
I think I'm pretty sure it was a guest stint.
Yeah, it was the same. Same year that Kazu came.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So back in the day. And the third one, and thanks to Counterac on the forum who took this and ran with it, but Jimmy Barnes.
What?
What were you thinking, Jimmy?
So, was he a guest player too?
No. So
where's my
So Jimmy Barnes in the second year. Actually put a song together for Sydney FC.
Oh, God.
Play the tape.
It's called it's called Sydney FC For Me.
Oh, yes, that's
and,
right.
Can you sing us a few bars?
No.
Oh, yes. We were in choir together back at school.
It's like an oral enema.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I see that as a participant in the video.
Yeah, yeah. So I just, you were in that, were you?
Yeah, so
Sydney Till I Die.
I was one of the people who went to the recording of the song and the recording of the video. Dear. They were putting on free food.
I'm imagining like it's like a Live Aid kind of everyone in the studio. We are God's children.
So for those that that was really good.
Thank you.
For those that don't know, have a YouTube of Sydney FC For Me. It's still on there. I checked the other day.
Don't do it.
Turn it off really quickly, but I remember them playing at a couple of games and
don't
just going,
give them the ad revenue.
Why, God, why? But the other interesting thing about having those three together, so you got Dwight York, Carbone and Jimmy Barnes. Can you imagine after a few drinks that conversation and their accents all together? I mean,
you need subtitles.
Yeah, you wouldn't
need subtitles for Grant.
You get that's right. That's it.
Well, Jimmy Barnes is Scottish or was Scottish.
That's right. Exactly. So all those accents together, I reckon, would make bit of chaos. That's all. It's pretty much all I've got.
It's us.
I have one question for you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Has there ever been a good football song?
Ricky Martin,
Shakira.
Oh, Ricky.
Under 10s, under 11s, grand final.
I see where you're going with this.
We rocked up to the opposing team because it was our away game and they were playing Cup of Life they'd already won the fucking game. And we, in 4 minutes to go, fucking killed them, right?
Under 10s is serious stuff.
It's serious stuff.
Hey, psychological warfare.
I still have the jacket because I was a small boy and I'm a small man and it still fits. But I just remember that song. It was such a good song. It was such a good song. You still play it now.
Yeah, it's not a...
Tell me you're not going to get your body grooving, Grant, to that song if I just bust that out right now.
I'm afraid my body grooving days are long gone.
Anything with a vuvuzela.
A couple of things to mention on behalf of the club as well. the kids' day. So they're doing the club's putting on a kids' day for 6 to 10 year olds.
There you go, James.
It's on Monday. It's on Monday, the 9th of March.
Are they going to play Cup of Life?
It's going to maybe. It's going to be at the Macquarie Training Facility. So head to the website, I believe, to get in touch with that. The other one is for those inclined. The Sydney FC business lunch is on Feb 28 coming up. Get in touch with Jamison at the club. That's obviously the event that Danny spoke about last week with James about Richard Scudamore being there. So that's something to get behind as well. Club hasn't asked me to mention these, by the way. It's just some things that are coming up for them. We're also something that Grant doesn't know about is tonight, guys, we're going to kick off Sky Blue Stories, hopefully what becomes a tradition, in our own version of the Stig.
Does it involve? Okay, so it does involve clothes.
This upon us.
It involves clothes. Yeah. So what we're going to do, guys, is
yes,
we're going to get Grant to participate in Facebook Messenger soccer.
And if you don't know what this is, create a group on Facebook with your mates. Change the emoji from the like thumb.
Is that how it works?
Yep. Yeah. Change the emoji on from the like thumb to a football, as in a soccer
You're
ball.
Just doing this, Jono, so we can stroke your ego because you've absolutely destroyed the rest of us.
So the rules are, so let's set the rules. So the rules are going to be...
Five attempts.
We'll do it off air and we'll post the results later on. But every guest that comes into the studio from now on, we're going to get to have a crack.
And, can we backdate this to Danny?
Yeah, he might cheat. He might have to come back in and
do that's it. That's a good reason to back.
Yeah. So keep an eye out for that with the updates going on. I think without the three of us guys, I don't want to mention anything, but I think I'm on 76.
What else? Right?
Don't know, mate. I'm just looking at the basketball scores.
Yeah.
I'm higher than Jimmy.
Go do your own Sydney Kings podcast somewhere else, please. Yeah. So we'll do that, Grant.
Top of the league.
Mate, thank you so much again for coming in and joining us. It's been a ball. I reckon we'll get you back one day because there's a lot more we can talk about. Yeah. Gents, thank you.
And look, we've got a bit of drought with football at the moment with ACL being rescheduled and things being postponed. So if you want to get a taste of football this weekend, get out to see the girls play the Wanderers. I want to say 2 o'clock, or is it a 5 o'clock?
That early, is it?
I think, okay, maybe it's 5 o'clock up at Cromer Park. So rain, hail, or shine, it should be on because it's on synthetic. So John and I were thinking of heading on over, possibly, so you might see our faces. We'll happy to sign whatever you want.
EVOs.
I'm also a justice of the peace, so if you know. But anyway, get along and watch the girls this weekend.
Absolutely.
And my final sign off is for 10-year-old James, screw you, Chiloro Wolves.
Who are you?
Exactly.
Thanks, guys.
For joining.
Anyway, thank you.